This is Tom from Silent Skies.
And this is Vikram from Silent Skies, and you are listening to Sonic Perspectives.
I've erased everything that got under my skin. One step closer in my inner search for wins. If you saw the light leave like I did, you would also feel like to leave.
Samantha Buckman, and I am here today joined by the fantastic Silent Skies duo, here to talk about all things Silent Skies and hopefully dive a bit into Nectar, which is your upcoming album, and that is due in just over 2 months from now on February 4th. So how are you feeling about this new release, especially coming just over a year after your last one?
Excited. Yeah.
We're stoked. I mean, the last album we finished in 2018 and it took 2 years to release. So while it feels really soon to be doing Nectar now, I mean, in a way, it's really not that soon. It at least doesn't feel that soon to us. It felt very natural. We dove right into writing when we felt like it, and that just happened to be soon. So we're stoked.
And I heard from some of your interviews regarding Satellites, that when you first got together and started writing, you had a lot of material. Do you still have any material left over for some new albums after Nectar, or are you going to have to hit the studio again sometime in the future?
Well, the thing is, usually when songs or material don't get onto an album, that's because they are not suited to be on an album, you know, or at that time they don't suit the project or the song or whatever. And then usually you write new stuff instead of using the old. So for us, I think we have hundreds of ideas, without exaggerating, that we could use. But maybe we'll use one part of something if it rings a bell in a song where we feel we need something. But I mostly think we're gonna write new stuff, because that's what creativity is, you know. We want to be creative, and we already wrote those songs that we're not using. So yeah.
Yeah, and that's what we did on this album, because when we tracked Satellites, I did like 18 songs, but the only thing from that session that was not used on Satellites that was for this was the piano instrumental track Nectar, but I re-recorded that completely, so it had a different feel as well. Usually, as Tom says, yeah, when we start a new record, we want it to be new. And I think there's a certain energy that comes out of creating something in the moment, and it's fresh, and you're really jazzed about it, and you take a lot of chances, and it's a beautiful thing. Whereas if you're resurrecting old material, it doesn't quite have that same vitality to it. Mm. So, I mean, that's just what feels right to us. And if there is something in the vault, so be it, but that's usually not the way we operate.
So looking at that growth or that new energy that really carried over into this new album, I noticed that when we're looking at Nectar, you're seeing a little bit more of this electronic element. So I guess really what inspired this shift, and what were you looking to bring new with your new album?
I guess we wanted to bring new whatever we felt like bringing, which sounds flippant, but I mean, honestly, it's like we wanted to take more chances, because we didn't really get to do that so much on Satellites, because we had to write this album really remotely. We were trading MP3s via email, and it's really hard to take a lot of chances when you have to prepare MP3 and send it. The other person listens to it the next day, and you feel like there's a little bit of a creative lag between the two of you. But we did this album on Zoom. We did pretty much all of it together, writing and recording in real time, or pretty much real time. So if we wanted to try something, we could just do it, and then we could chisel it together and make it exactly how we wanted it. If I wanted to do a line on Moog, I didn't have to say, I'll send you an MP3 tomorrow with the Moog part. I could go do it in 5 minutes, and then we could listen to it and be like, oh, this is cool. maybe do this a little differently. And so there are a lot more of these experimentations that we were able to get away with on this album because we were able to make them just right. So I guess the electronic thing is partly that, and also because it's just what we felt like doing. I mean, there's some electronic stuff on Satellites too, but a big part is that I got better at it. I mean, because I grew so much as a musician on Satellites, and I think something that I only recently realized is that a lot of what I did on Satellites I'd never done before, and I kind of learned to make Satellites because I was like, oh, this music needs this. Crap, I've never done that before. Maybe I'll just try it. But on Nectar, kind of I knew my tools a lot better, and I had new tools, like the two blinking things back there. So I was able to use those, and that just colors the music so much because I'm personally inspired by instruments a lot. So, you know, instruments have characters and souls of their own. So when you bring that into your music, it's going to be fresh.
I agree. No, but I just want to add that, yeah, of course, making your first album, your debut album, is going to sound in one way. And when you're making the next album, that's going to be sort of the bigger brother of the first one. And of course, you don't function or sound or act like you did when you were 15 as opposed to when you're 25, you know. And I would say that that's the similarities in age, I would say, compares to having a first album and a sophomore album. So for us, you know, we matured. We also had this pandemic going, so we had a lot of time where we had time to think about our creative process and how we should work it and how. And I mean, personally, I didn't have a set goal on us using more electronics or that it was decided in that way. But that just came naturally, that we need a beat here, or we need something that sounds like this. And I think the soundscape of Nectar is much more refined, which is great, because I also love the development in between those two albums. So, yeah.
And you are both such talented musicians and have your fingers in so many different pies, so to speak, with all these different projects. So how do you continue to see ambition and risk as you take on different projects? And how do you incorporate ambition and risk into Silent Skies?
We don't think about risk at all, because that would hinder us, I guess. And with that being said, that's also on the expense of us being totally worn out. And like now, it's like end of the year, and it's like I don't see any end of the year at all. So it's like, but it's lovely also to be able to sit and talk to you about stuff that we put our hearts and soul into. So, but I don't evaluate risk at all. I couldn't see that working at all in terms of being creative.
I've never been able to. I can't think in those terms. And I also can't think in terms of ambition, because I don't want to. Ambition shouldn't be conscious, because for me, if ambition is conscious, it's contrived. And I love ambitious music, but I hate ambitious contrived music. So if it's ambitious because it has to be, and because you wanted to be ambitious, and because you wanted to say X, Y, Z, and that was the only way you could say it, that's freaking awesome. That's amazing. I love so much ridiculous, complicated technical music that people think is pure pretension, but I don't think so. I think it's great because it's joyous and honest and authentic. But if you're thinking about ambition, you're like, man, I want to be the greatest, you know, I want to do things that, you know, blow everyone's minds, and maybe it's not what you naturally want to do, but you feel like you have to, then you're setting yourself up to fail.
The only mind I want to blow is my own, and Vikram's from now. For now.
Occasionally you do.
I think that's a key lesson in young aspiring musicians that they should really listen to, because you shouldn't set out to impress anyone. You should set out to impress yourself. And when you're happy with your music, if you're then lucky that other people listen to it, then you should be very lucky. And I feel that we are. So,
yeah.
And so I guess, what does it take to make you satisfied? At what point do you feel the album is done and you're ready to show it to the world? And especially with you two working so closely together on this, at what point do you decide something's done?
we just know. It's a common understanding, and we actually answered the question about this before here, and we came to the conclusion that it's making music. It's like a conversation, or like this music speaks to you and tells you. The song tells you when it's done, and or the, you know, if you take it into a context of conversation or a debate, the debate ends when nobody has anything left to say, you know, and that's pretty much how we wanna. So what we want to say about our music too, that when there are no red flags and there are no more words to be spoken, then pretty much the, or no more notes to be played, then we know the song is finished.
It's obvious, but also a little, I mean, it's anything but obvious in execution, because we'll agonize over these things that, I mean, rationally nobody will ever hear. There's one song on the album.
But that's just the point. That's just the point. I don't care if nobody else would hear him. You and me need to be sort of 100%
and we end clear, like, for instance, if you think about the song Closer, where we had like 7 different iterations of the arrangement of that song, and we kept adding and subtracting and adding and subtracting, adding, subtracting. It's like the song has to do that, because just like, you know, a human finds itself as they grow up, so does a song. So that particular song had a lot of growing to do. He had to really, you know, reach maturation.
Yeah.
And he took a while to get there. But this, I say agony, but that sounds so awful.
That's the truth. It is agony. It's
but it
pain.
Is it is a little agonizing. But I mean, you need that, because if you don't go through that and you just do one pass through the song and all the notes are played in the right place and you're like, okay, done, on to the next one, then that works for some artists, but that doesn't work for us. It just, you know, it has to be right.
And so when it does come to these songs being right, is there a particular reason you chose Taper as the lead single, kind of that first taste of something new? What's special about that song?
It was
What's
so hard
not
to
special.
Pick. I mean, I think maybe we picked it because it's not, and by that I mean that it's representative. It doesn't do something that none of the other songs do. It's, I mean, there is diversity in the music, but at the same time, you know, you want a single to be that sort of litmus test where if someone listens to the music, that song, like, oh, I hate it. Well, you probably won't like everything else. That's fine. But if you really like it, you'll like everything else, we're reasonably sure. So I guess that was why Taper was the logical choice. And also because, I mean, I personally just love the vocals on that.
I think it also sets a tone, you know, with the... It was either that song or Fallen From Heart that was our choices for the first single. So, and I think that Faint Scars on My Body line sets a... Yeah. Creates a certain atmosphere, and the same with the Fallen From Heart, where it's Snow on My Window Pane. So it's like it was either or, it could have been either of them, but yeah, I love the sparseness of the piano playing and how much room it leaves you with, you know. It's like it's great, it's a great song.
I have to agree. I'm not sure I'd want to be friends with anyone that thinks otherwise, so
no, exactly.
And so I guess this is coming from a listener's point of view, but what I really find so moving about the music that Silent Skies has done so far is that I can see so much of your heart and soul put into it, but I can also read so much of my own emotion into it. So I guess I'm curious, what part of your stories or your hearts did you put into Nectar? Is there a particular theme that you are really going for with this new album?
I mean, we put all of our hearts and soul into it. We can't, you can't choose what to put into music. It's everything, or you write about fiction. So, and for me, I've never written about, as I say often, I've never written about Dungeons and Dragons, because I've never had any close relationship with a dragon or a sword or a cape or whatever. You know, it's like, I tend to write about things that are close to me, that I know very well, and then it becomes honest and sincere. And then you don't have to fake it. You don't have to fake having a, you know, whatever troubles in life. It's you sing about you, and we debated topics and lines and words heavily on this album. And also, I wanted to invite Vikram into the world of my lyricism and creating that world and what that does for me, you know. And I think we managed to sort of convey our musicianship to each other in a very intimate way. It was almost like sex, but better. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I said that at the end, but yeah, sure.
You're trying to sound similar. Here, dude. What are you doing?
I'm tired. It's the end of the day. Yeah, but it's like, yeah, but I'm seriously, it's like, it's important to have an understanding when you make music. And me and Vikram have an understanding on the musical terms for sure, but also on a more personal level as friends and also been through stuff that we share psychologically and yeah.
Mental health and interpersonal relationship stuff and everything. I mean, we have a lot of overlapping experience in that way. So when we express things, if we're both true to ourselves, we end up being true to each other because we have so much shared experience. So it's just, you know, that's what the music is. It's just reflections of us.
That's just so fantastic to hear. I mean, that's just beautiful. So I guess, and this is a question for Tom. So how, in an interview a very long time ago, you mentioned that Evergrey, you named it because at the time, just for like the emotions that you were going through and that shaped a lot of the earlier music, especially in those first two albums. So I guess as you grow from that, if you compare those first years that you had with Evergrey and growing with the feelings and emotions that crafted that project, how would you compare that to the emotions and the creative process that inspired you to form Silent Skies with Vikram?
Well, I would say two things. First and foremost, when I was writing, at that time I was writing from a perspective of desperation and sadness and feeling inadequate to deal with many of the problems that young people do. I felt that I wasn't able to face the light of day many times. And today I write from a perspective of a person who have gone through all of that and have that as a backbone and being my strength instead, and more from a perspective that I have darkness as a friend and solitude as a companion that I know very, very well and I'm not afraid of anymore. So that's the first thing. But the second thing why I wanted to do this music with Vikram was that I wanted to do something that was different from Evergrey, that didn't, you know, we are so many different things as people, you know. I'm a dad, I'm a husband to my wife, I'm a band member of Evergrey, I'm a lousy person in many, many aspects of my life, and then I'm a decent musician, and I'm a better musician when I work with Vikram, and all of these things have their own voice, you know, but not all of them needs to be sung about, you know, but the things that I do in Evergrey and in Redemption and in Silent Skies are things that I do want to sing about, because that's my expression, that's who I am, and I've learned that I won't change, you know. This is who I am, and that's what I'm gonna sing about, and then I'm just lucky to have people that are listening. It's very simple.
And so I guess moving back to the musicianship aspect, so I've been asking a lot about the songwritings, the feelings, but I guess I would like to dig a little bit more into the technical aspect of writing this new album. So I know that you definitely had it was easier to connect with each other over Zoom, but Vikram, I believe you referred to both you and Tom as production nerds. So could you talk a little bit more about the actual technical aspects of Nectar and what challenges or successes you had there?
Sure. I mean, we are production nerds, and by that I mean that when we are producing a song, which we do together on everything, we will produce everything together. Normally the final versions of the music tracks will live on my computer, and the final versions of Tom's tracks will live on Tom's computer, and then they kind of both meet in Jacob Hansen's computer, where he did the final mix. But up until they reach Jacob's hands. They go through a really exhaustive process. And part of that process for me is submixing the music, where I take maybe 70, 80 tracks of music and I turn it into 8. And then I give those to Jacob, and Jacob mixes the 8 and he does his Midas touch on that. But in the process of doing the submixes, Tom and I listen a lot throughout everything we've done, and we make very, very minute changes and alterations to things. Things like we're listening through and the snare drum in this part is half a dB too loud, and then here it can come up, but it's you know, a little bit too bright at 3K, so you have to duck a little bit at 3K, and then, you know, all this sort of stuff. And that's really important for us because the, you know, the devil's in the details, and so this music really, really requires that. I think it requires that more than any other music I do, even though technically it's less tracks than a lot of music that I do. I think when you have less elements, each element has to be that much more right, because it's so naked. And if that auxiliary percussion clap hit on beat 3 is not covered by a wall of guitar and double bass, then you're going to hear every little, you know, facet of that sound. And so it has to be just right. So by the time the songs get delivered to Jacob to do the final mixing, they've already kind of been through hell and back in that regard. But I mean, that's great. That gets it to how we want it. And that means that Jacob can do his thing without having to try, you know, reinvent the wheel and kind of deal with our annoying tendencies to get everything just right. We can kind of do that for him.
Fantastic. And so given that you're both involved in so many projects, and as Tom said, I'm sure you're very tired by this point after essentially sprinting through so much different stuff, what do you do to unwind that's not music? Just something that gives you that breath of fresh air.
Exercise, go for a walk. Yeah, for me, that for me, travel. Nowadays, not that easy, but yeah.
I actually struggled with this for a long time because what I did to unwind was music. And what I do for a living is music. So I found that, you know, it's really difficult to be able to unwind doing your profession. I mean, if you go tell a banker that he has to unwind by working in a bank office, he's going to scream at you. So, I mean, you can't do that. So, I mean, sure, I walk, I, you know, try to read or cook or whatever the case may be. But I also found that exploring different kinds of music is one way that I can kind of navigate that loophole. Like, you know, for instance, I don't play professional guitar, but I play a lot of guitar in my free time because it's different. There's a different energy to playing the guitar. And sure, sometimes it spills into the creative process and I come up with riffs that I'll then use in my day job. But I think there's something important about having some separation, and it's really unhealthy to not have that. I learned that sooner thanks to Tom, who kind of, you know, helped me understand these things about having a, you know, some work-life balance and what it means to be a working musician that I may not have realized for another 5 years if it wasn't for him. So he's probably extended my lifespan by teaching me that.
Yeah, I would hope so. I need you.
You can't die yet.
And just as a last question, as the year draws to a close, what albums have really stood out to you? Do you have like a number one album this year? And Escape of the Phoenix is a correct answer, but not for this question.
Actually, Escape of the Phoenix would probably be my answer, but I actually have a list on Spotify. Tom, you answer first.
Spotify? No, I think for me, I haven't, honestly, I'm, wow. The Vola album is one of my favorites. But it's also on the top of my head, probably the only album I can mention, because it's the only album that stood out to me. But mainly because I've been doing so much of my own music in between the computer game music that me and Vikram write and Silent Skies and Redemption and Evergrey and two albums for Evergrey. So it's like there's not much room to do anything else.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there are some things that really stood out to me, like Sleep Tokens' new album, amazing. Spirit Box, amazing. Halsey's new album is really, really strong. But it's been a weird year for me because when I spend you know, anywhere from 8 to 16 hours a day on music. Sometimes you really don't want to go listen, especially to the same kind of music you make. So if I'm making a lot of prog metal, it's hard to go relax listening to Dream Theater, although their new album is amazing.
That new album, I actually did listen.
Isn't that really good?
I was really pleasantly surprised. Not surprised, but I was happy with the... I wrote James that, dude, you made me feel young again, and he was super happy about that. So I guess that's a good review for him.
Yeah. No, but like I was saying, it's hard to sometimes dig into music that's really similar to what you make for a profession. So it means that I used to have this answer so down. If you had asked me 2 years ago, I would have been able to give you an enumerated list of, you know, all the albums I loved and why I loved them. And now it's just getting a little harder for me. But that's not to say that there's not amazing music out there, because I am surprised every day
for sure
by the amount of amazing, fresh, new music. Dude, Architects. That was this year.
See?
That was an amazing album.
Here you go.
Talk to me for another 5 minutes and I'll have another fun.
Yeah, let's not.
I would say, I think that you deserve a break after, I'm sure, what's been a long day of interviews. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It really means a lot to me. And Tom, especially, Evergrey is what got me into the genre of metal in the first place. So it's really a dream come true to be able to talk to you today. And I really appreciate the time.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
You just heard an interview with Tom and Vikram from Silent Skies. Their new album, Nectar, will be out on February 4th, 2022. And closing out today will be their first single, Taper.
Faint scars on my body, fragments of where I've been. Sparse echoes from heartbeats that still beat within. Sometimes my presence won't hold. I feel like I can't breathe. Feels like I've lost control. Cause my heart is too old, while my soul is too young. It's getting harder and harder, and I can't hold on much longer. Dark skies fell right on me. Will I ever spread my wings? Dark skies and dark waters, I need to feel free from sin. And when the day comes too close, I forgot how to swim. I've lost control. My heart is too old, while my soul is too young. And I need to control just how fast this goes. I feel this heart's too cold, yet the world is much colder. Getting harder, I can't hold on much longer. I never felt like I stepped out of the night. And were you watching me fight all of this? Because we never felt like we were invited. You say you never knew of this. And I never thought I'd cry these rivers for you or for me. Never. Cause my heart is too old, while my soul is too young. And I need to control how fast it's going. my soul is too young, and I need a control. Just how fast this goes, I feel it's hard to cold. Yet the world is much colder, I can't hold on much longer.